For more presentations like this, visit www.xenos.org.
God, I just thank you for this opportunity to share what's going on here at Xenos. I just thank you that you make this provision within your church. I thank you for the body. I thank you for that we're not all feet, we're not all hands, and that it takes all of us to represent you. God, I just pray that you would use us as you see fit in order to represent you to the city and to the world. Amen. Well, thanks for coming out. Didn't everybody enjoy Johnny last night? Isn't that great? I've got a little PowerPoint here, and then we're going to hear from some of the people who are involved in the Access Ministry. So this is going to be very interactive. We want you people to ask questions. Is anyone here not from Xenos? Do we have any visitors? We're all from Xenos. Okay, well, then I'm kind of preaching to the choir in a lot of ways. So bear with me a little bit. So the Access Ministry at Xenos is, we hope that it's just a natural outworking of the values that Xenos is committed to. As you know, we're a non-traditional, non-denominational church that has mainstream values, doctrinal, biblical doctrinal values. A lot of people don't know that Xenos has an Access Ministry, and in some ways I think that's good because it means that people who have disabilities that are a part of our church are just a natural part of the fabric, and that's really kind of the way it should be. On the other hand, I think we could do a better job of letting people know who we are, because then we could be serving more people. So that's kind of what we're here to talk about today. So why we're here. As you know, we model our church after the New Testament described in Acts 2, 42, 46, saying that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to meet together in temple courts and in their homes. So rather than create a very specialized ministry, our ministry was born to provide support to persons with disabilities, making sure that they can access all aspects of the church, including fellowship, prayer, learning from the Bible, and ministry. So Ephesians 2:10 teaches us that we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And we believe that this is true of persons with disabilities. Access seeks to help people understand that they were designed with a special role in glorifying God. Think about, that's my daughter there in the middle, and I just had to put a picture of her there. And I just remember learning that verse in Ephesians 2:10, and I thought, well, that applies to me. But then I got to thinking, does that apply to Jessica? It was so cool to be able to say, yes, that does apply to her because of her being in our life. She's 24 and she has developmental disabilities. We've had people come into our home to help with her care, and we've been able to introduce Christ to two college students because of that. And so that's Jessica's special ministry, and who knows what other jewels that she's going to have in her crown when she gets to heaven. So that's my story. That is why, I'm a little bit off here. Of course, we're all created in God's image, and that's true of kids with special needs too, and adults. So we have special work to do, and we're created in His image to do that work. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And I think Johnny illustrated that so beautifully to us last night. So the Bible emphasizes community as a primary way that God expresses himself and his love. We all know this. We're all involved in community. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. That applies. There are no people with disabilities or no disabilities. Johnny said in one of the workshops this weekend, we're all disabled with the disability of sin. It's true of all of us. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And I think no one could illustrate that better than Johnny. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. And he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. He's the one that designs the church. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full in love. So I'm going to talk a little bit about, we kind of divide ourselves, our team up into different emphases. I kind of oversee the access program within our Oasis Children's Program. And then Shannon Bennett here, she oversees the Young Adult Adapted Bible Study that meets on Saturday night, and she's going to talk a little bit about that. Greg is our home church liaison, and he's here to help answer questions anytime there's an adult that has a special need that is either in a home church or wants to go to a home church, or maybe you have a friend that you'd like to invite to home church, but you're not exactly sure how to help support that person in the home church. Greg is the person that you'd call, and he's going to talk a little bit about that. And then Bill over here helps manage our sign language interpretation services, and he's going to talk a little bit about that. So I can just talk briefly about Oasis. First of all, Oasis' mission and goal is stated here. It exists to provide a fun, biblically-based environment during adult-central teaching where children can respond to and grow in the truth and love of Jesus. Well, that's what we try to support that. We want to help children know Jesus Christ personally, to grow in God's truth and their relationship with him, and to go into the world sharing the good news. So we try to support that mission within Oasis. The way that we do that is through the help of consultants. Jen Wolverton has helped us with this. We also have Amanda Kuzno. They're both occupational therapists with a lot of experience working with kids with disabilities. And so anytime we're presented with a child that has any kind of disability, I try to hook Jen or Amanda up in that classroom. They can come in and observe for a few weeks. They can serve as a one-on-one buddy for a few weeks to kind of determine what are those child's needs within the classroom, what kind of supports can we build into the classroom to help make that child successful. Does this child need a buddy in order to be successful in the classroom, or do there just need to be some mild modifications made to make the child successful in the classroom? Not every child with a disability needs a buddy. Some do. We also have a classroom that we call the Hub. Right now it's only staffed on Sunday mornings at 9:30, but we have students in that classroom who either they're too old for the Oasis Children's Program, and yet they're not able to stay at home alone. Their parents wouldn't be able to leave them home alone without some kind of support, and we want the parents to be able to go to central teaching. So this is a place that those students can come, and we do a small little Bible teaching, even if it's just reading a Bible story or a verse, and then we play Uno, just sing. The music team comes in there, which is awesome. Everybody loves it when the music team comes. So we kind of just take things as we come, and we're growing and evolving all the time. So now I'm going to let Shannon talk about the Young Adult Adapted Bible Study, and then Greg and Bill are going to speak for a few moments, and then we'll just open it up for questions and discussion. Oh, and here's this. You can click.
Okay, we have a Young Adult Adapted Bible Study. We call it the Saturday Night Bible Study for Young Adults with Disabilities. The kids, basically, we voted. They picked this name, so that's it. It is the ages. We've really gone from middle school to, we had a man that was in his 60s that was participating with us. So, you know, pretty much anyone's welcomed. I think our biggest goal that we have is that we want the students to help teach this group. We learn that as we teach, we learn so much more of God's Word as we study to teach and apply it. So we want to work one-on-one with one or two students, come up with a teaching. We also come up with a worksheet to use on Saturday night that the kids can fill out the answers. They have something then to take home and look at later. And this has just been extremely exciting. It's made the kids in the group take ownership of this group. We also have a student-led prayer group. Now, we have a girl that comes in and keeps a list of, you know, everyone kind of gets together and we make up our prayer list every week. She types it up and then she hands it out at the next meeting. And what's been exciting is to go back and look at the things that have been prayed for, see so many answered prayers. And this is, you know, this is kind of overseen by the students in the group. And probably about, I don't know, it's probably 4 or 5 months ago, Pam and I started really having a burden that the kids in this group needed somewhere to serve in the community, somewhere where they could give. We got an opportunity to do a clothing pantry down in Franklinton, and it was perfect. It was the perfect thing for these guys to go in, sort clothes, set up this whole kitchen so that the next morning this clothing pantry would go on. So we do that every month. The kids love it. They realize they're giving back to their community, and it's just been a blast. And then and a big goal that we have in our group, and really I think what we're moving towards and want to see more of, is more one-on-one or small, in Xenos we've called them cell groups, smaller groups of people gathering to be in the Word or possibly studying, you know, a book, either a book of the Bible or the girls right now we're doing Purpose-Driven Life. Just moving through that book really slowly. That book's full of scripture. And so that we can build deeper relationships with the kids. These guys are, they're dealing with everything that the people in my own home church deal with. So it's really nothing new here. And then the last thing would be, and really Greg's mostly involved in this, is a lot of the members are involved in other areas at Xenos. We want to make sure that transition goes well. So trying to support the individuals in our Saturday night group that maybe have even mild disabilities, if they need support and help with their home church or finding a home church or anything like that, we want to be there and help everyone in the group with whatever they need.
As the slide says, I help arrange the transition of people into home groups. We have it sort of set up. I don't have a lot to do a lot of times because probably many of you know friends or have someone that you've known. Maybe you've invited to a Bible study or something. And so really, that's usually how it goes. I mean, if you can get them and your home church supports them. That's how it was done with me. Some people in the home group that I started going to just welcomed me and just with open arms and went over and above the call of duty to incorporate me into the home group. And so that's usually the way it goes. But in cases where that doesn't happen, where people are unsure of what to do, then they can call me. But normally they would call the office, like the home group connection person, Laura Gordon, and she has a list of home groups that either are seeking people with disabilities to, you know, help them out, or are open. And so that's how it's kind of set up, and we work with individuals and home groups to make that happen.
Thank you. Could you forward that to the a couple of slides? It shows at least one picture of somebody interpreting for sign language.
There's,
I think,
one.
It's it might be at the end of the PowerPoint.
There's actually a picture toward the front of.
Yeah. In the meantime.
There.
Thank you.
Back.
There it is, yeah. Right in the middle. It's a small picture, but maybe you can see that. That's actually a picture of our home group and. The lady who's interpreting for her husband, actually, in the blue shirt. And let me back up a little bit. My name is Bill Costello, and I oversee the interpreting ministry here at this church. And so we know that we want to make the gospel accessible to everybody, and so deaf or hard of hearing don't hear, and so interpreters like Christy Hill out here and many others, thank God for them to volunteer their time and interpret so that hearing impaired or deaf can hear the gospel. Columbus is the home of the Ohio School for the Deaf. I work there, and there are many in the community that stay here after school, after they're done with the Ohio School for the Deaf, and many come here because it is the hub of the deaf community in Ohio, Columbus, Ohio. Cleveland and Columbus have a lot, and I just know that many of them are unchurched, and that you know, my hope, and I think God is moving in the direction that this can be a church that we can accommodate and make it accessible to the deaf community. And so I just want to encourage anybody who's interested in getting involved with sign language, the deaf community, or spending time even with deaf children who live at the school, for example, and you know, you have to go through the process of, you know, getting checked out like you would in any school. But if you're interested in being involved with any of those students, they have a rec program after the kids, their school day, and you can even get involved with that. So there's a lot of things that we can do to reach the deaf community. I mean, we take so much for granted as hearing people, and the deaf community just they don't have the access. So my prayer is that some people will be interested, and thanks for your time. I'll be glad to answer questions about that too.
Yes, so now we'll just open this up for our panel people to talk, and maybe we can just start with Kelly, and we'll just introduce yourself and tell how you're involved with Access. We'll go down the line.
My name is Kelly Schweitzer, and my son Caleb was diagnosed with autism when he was 3, and he has been involved. He's had a classroom buddy or a classroom liaison pretty much since that time until this year. So it's been really interesting to watch, just in the few short years that we've been involved, the program evolve and meet his needs and the other students' needs. And I've also had the opportunity to volunteer some as well with the program.
Hi, I'm Jen Wolverton. I started volunteering with Access, I think right around the time it started. And I'm an occupational therapist. I work with people with disabilities of all ages. Right before I had my daughter, I worked with children with special needs. And actually, I was really missing my job. And this opportunity came up to volunteer, and I was so excited. Because if any of you out there professionally work with people with disabilities, you know that it's really frustrating to not be able to share Christ with them or to have barriers to sharing Christ with them, because you know they really need Christ. And so I was so excited that this ministry was developing and that I could get involved. And God totally blessed my life because I had the opportunity to buddy this little boy whose mother was Muslim and her husband was a believer, and he had autism, and I just hung with him and had a really good time. And she met the Lord. Like, she would come and listen to CT and get a break, and she met the Lord. And it was just like one of the most exciting things that had ever happened to me, because it was the perfect like fusion of, you know, how God had made me. And I finally had a chance to, you know, do some real ministry. And it was so easy and fun. I mean, it was way easier than working. So if any of you out there are professionals and you're, you know, I think, you know, sometimes when you do something 9 to 5, you think you don't want to do it on the weekend. But it's a blessing. This ministry is a blessing to be involved in. So and now I sometimes get the opportunity to buddy children, but also help train people who want to get involved in the ministry. You certainly don't have to be a professional. Absolutely not. You know, we can introduce you to children and families. If you have a heart for this, that's really all you need. Mm-hmm. So we're excited to see people here. I see some young people too, which is awesome, who maybe have a heart for serving the disabled. That's really exciting. So anyway, if you have any questions, or I don't know, maybe you're already involved in OASIS and you have a child in your classroom. I'm not sure exactly who all is here, but send them our way, or just talk to anyone in OASIS. They can get in touch with us.
Oh, I'm Melanie Woods. I used to be Melanie Ernst. I just got married 2 years ago. I prayed about this ministry in Zenas. This has been one of my exciting parts of my life, to be in a church that has a disabled ministry, because I'm disabled. I have a learning disability. You cannot tell until I read and write. And many of them probably can see it when I'm there. I don't always understand the teachings. I understood Johnny. Johnny brought joy in my life to know that I am thankful. I need to be thankful for who God made me, and I just loved her. And the other thing is, when we did this ministry, I had a burden. One of my disciples in my I'm in a regular home church also, and she kind of encouraged me to start a book club or a Bible study with two girls, and I prayed about it because I've always wanted to disciple somebody. I could not disciple somebody in the college group because of my learning disability, and I couldn't teach home group because of my learning disability had an effect. But now, this ministry, it's Saturday night Bible study that I'm involved with, there are two girls. We're doing purpose-driven life. I started it by myself, and they were so excited about this book, and they don't call it cell group, they call it book club, and that's about it. And and my Pam over there, she joined up with me, and it's nice to have that support, because of my reading, she can help us to understand words a lot better. And also, I also teach the Bible study, and I thought that I would never be able to teach God's word. And I love this ministry. I look forward to it all the time.
Hey. Yeah. Name's Michael Reeves. I guess I there's actually started with the Access Ministry about a year ago. I helped with the teaching and also do have a little bit of a speech disability, which usually shows up if I'm nervous. Like now, yeah. It's been in Zenos for about 9 years now. Been in the regular home church most. So started with the college group. It's kind of a little fast-paced. I actually do like the adult group a little bit better. It's, I guess, easier for me to get to know people when it's more stable. But,
I'm going to brag on Michael a little bit because Michael has this wonderful mind that has verses and parts of the Bible in it. And a lot of times I'll go, okay, Michael, where is this? And he's, you know, may take him a minute, but he helps me out. So I rely on that. My name is Pam, and my son Josh is in the Access Ministry. When we first started coming to Zenos, I just sent him to an Oasis room and just thought, go for it, enjoy it. And he did really well, and we went all the way up through fifth and sixth grade. And then after that, I couldn't really think of sending him into Blowout with 50-some-odd kids and a lot of chaos in there. And luckily, what God sent his way was meeting the people that had started a young adult Bible study. And he's been in it ever since. The growth in Joshua is amazing, from getting up there and being even more nervous than Michael and not being able to say a word to, you know, wanting to pick the person that prays that day or, you know, help out in some way. But not only that, I think, you know, Josh's empathy has grown with people. My son is somewhere on the autism spectrum, and just watching him care for people and being able to become in touch with his feelings and just share that with people has been tremendous for me. So, and I can't tell you how much I've learned helping in this class. I am not the master of the Bible or understanding. I don't have even probably more than 5 memory verses, to be honest with you. My brain won't hold it. But I've learned so much and grown so much from everybody in this group. So it's an amazing prospect if you're interested.
Yeah. Linda and I was actually on the miscellaneous looking when I was trying to get back out into the work world because of my disability of epilepsy. I haven't been working for quite a few years, but since surgery in 2004, my seizures have been controlled, and I was told that maybe an occupational therapist could help me, so I found out about one. But then when I found out from Pam about the ministry, I decided maybe I'll just go and check out the ministry as well. And so I've been going to the ministry and also seeing that it's also very helpful to help with that as well, because also even with them, I can go at my slow pace that I need to go. And even with the jobs I've been looking for, I needed to go at a slower pace, and I definitely cannot double task anything. So that's the type of jobs I was needing to look for. And I know even in reaching out, I cannot reach out to any adult American at all because they go too fast for me. So that's what I do like about going into this ministry, and I realize what type of people I can reach out to.
At this point, you can ask questions if you have any, or we can continue to talk.
What days of the week, other than like Saturday, do you guys have opportunities for like volunteering?
What is
like what days of the week can people volunteer? Like, do you guys have things going on every day, or?
Yeah, mainly I'd say the volunteer opportunities are with the Sunday Oasis at the main services, or with the Saturday night Bible study, which is the first and third Saturday of each month.
We have that Lower Lights that we go serve at on Fridays. It's the second Friday of every month, which we could always use support in that. We get a lot of people down there that need help folding and sorting.
We also meet from 5:30 to 7:30 up by Zena Study Center in a classroom up there. I didn't know if that was answered.
Is this on? Oh, it's on. Sorry. So I was wondering, like, if, like my age people could help with this type of stuff. Like, would that be okay?
That would be awesome.
And
actually, it's really, really often very helpful to have younger people serve as buddies in the classroom. Cool. Better than adults sometimes.
Cool. And also, I have another question. Like, how do you, like... get ready to help if you want to. Like, how do you register or something?
Okay. You get in touch with someone in Oasis, right? What's the best answer to this?
We have a booth right outside the door here. And if you want to sign up to volunteer, you can just fill out a little paper and give that to us. Or you can just see me afterwards and I'll get your name and like what CT you would want to be involved with. And then I would also, you know, we would talk about what your interests are and what time you're available. And then we would make sure that you had some information, you know, that would help you in the classroom. We wouldn't just dump you off there.
Okay. All right.
You know, I think I also would like to encourage you all to pray for us in this ministry, because we feel like, I know Joanna feels like, the disabled community is sort of an unreached people group. And so, you know, we really need God's wisdom to know how to bridge that gap.
Yeah.
And I think we're really excited, especially after hearing Johnny last night, that, and just know that God's going to stir people's hearts. And, you know, it seems like there's a volunteer movement going on in our church. People are getting out there in nursing homes and finding places in the community to serve people in need. And I'm sure that we'll connect with people with disabilities that way. Yeah. Which is really awesome. Totally something God's doing. So, you know, if you're not, your schedule doesn't allow you to volunteer in some way right now, you could certainly partner with us in prayer.
Yeah.
So you just mentioned about people volunteering in the community, like at a nursing home, or Bob over at the School for Deaf. Is that something you coordinate as well?
The easy answer would be no.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Bob, I live just down the street from you, where you work. I don't know sign language, but is that something that they would teach somebody if that wanted to volunteer there?
Well, I work at the Ohio School for the Deaf, and one of the things that the kids do live there, many of them do, not all of them, and often they're... you know, like I said, you'd have to get checkout, fingerprint, and so forth, that process. But in the evenings, they're looking for adults willing to interact and play with the kids. These kids, who may be from rural areas in Ohio, actually anywhere in the state of Ohio, they don't have a lot of adult interaction there. I mean, they don't have a lot of contact with the community. And so we're looking for volunteer people who want to spend time. And, of course, that's truly the best opportunity to learn sign language, hanging with kids who are excited that you're there with them. And, I mean, believe me, I mean, anybody who knows, and I know that I referred to Christy earlier, but she is a sign language interpreter, and she can vouch for me that these kids are like, they are so pumped when other adults want to be around them and spend time with them. It's an amazing sight. It will warm your heart, and I But as far as doing that, functionally doing that, school starts in the end of August, early September. And what, if you wouldn't mind, afterwards I could give you my email and you could contact me and I could you know, give you the information that you need. And also, as far as serving here in this church in regards to deaf people in general, right now, as far as I know, there is only one child that goes to the OASIS program. There may be more, but I think one. And there are several adults, and it's something that God is working on, something that we're working on. There's not a, you know, the biggest need is for the interpreters, and they work their butts off. I mean, they really work very, very hard, volunteer time. We would love to see a large community, a group of deaf people, and I think that'll happen because, you know, God's working in that direction, and there's a large community. So does that help? Is that...
Well, are any of the current volunteers that do know sign language, are they willing to teach somebody that would be interested in maybe learning and serving in that capacity, not only with time,
sure,
I'm a server of
sure.
my time, I will give my time, no problem, but to try to actually be able to speak to them, I'm never at a loss for
okay.
words, so, and I like to use my hands while I'm talking,
yeah. right.
so
oh.
why not put the two together? Is there somebody that would actually be willing to teach them?
It's actually something that we had, go ahead, were you going to speak to that?
You know, if I'm sure there's other people that would probably be interested in learning, and if there's a group of people, if there's people that you know, or maybe we could put something in the bulletin or something, and if there's people that are interested, I would be willing to teach a couple classes, sure, just, and even just to teach about deaf culture and stuff like that, just so people feel a little bit more comfortable. And then even if you see deaf people in church, then you can maybe say a few things. I mean, deaf people like it when people try to communicate with them. You don't have to be perfect, you know. It is really intimidating. Even when I was in school for a long time, I was so scared to be around deaf people because I was going to sign something wrong, but it's not that bad. They know, you know, if you sign something wrong, they know what you mean. You know, they can figure it out. So, Stephanie over here is also an interpreting student, so she's going to Columbus State right now to become an interpreter. So, so she is involved in that too. So if there was, are you in school too for that? You just started? Cool. Well, awesome. See, that's really cool. Hurry up, so, because we need more interpreters.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. But yeah, so I don't know. If there's an interest, I'd be willing to do something like that. And yeah, Stephanie would too. So, yeah, we're just trying to get this going a little bit, I guess. I haven't been coming to Xenos that long. I've only been coming here like a year. So I have recently realized that there's a need for interpreting services, and there's been some deaf people that have been in and out, I guess. So maybe we can get this going again. I've been interpreting in OASIS for the past couple months, and that's so much fun. That the little girl that's in there is adorable. She's going into second grade, and she's so smart and so cute. And her American Sign Language, her ASL skills are really good. So you could really learn a lot from her too. So she's a sweet girl. So yeah, so if you want, I can give you my contact information. If you know other people, maybe we can get this going. So.
Kelly, this is for you. I think I just heard a statistic like 1 in 150 children are now will be diagnosed with somewhere on the autism spectrum. So I'm thinking about what that would open up as far as families out there with autistic kids. And can you give me a vision for what you're seeing as far as like maybe in the classes that you've got with Caleb or the community maybe that you've even interacted with, you know, so that we can, it's something for us to even be preparing for and praying about.
Yeah, it was really strange when he was first diagnosed. That's what immediately came to me is like, you know, after you get through the OYS and it, what Johnny said last night really resonated when, you know, you're just laying there thinking, oh my God, you know, he's gonna live with us forever. your mind just jumps from he's three and he's newly diagnosed to this whole, and we have God, and I could pray to God, and I could talk to him, and so it's a real burden for me just, and with families, and, you know, I had been a nurse for a long time before my kid was diagnosed, but I never realized the pain that families go through when they deal with these difficult times. It was really eye-opening. And Caleb has been really fortunate. He was accepted into a school that's just across the street, Oakstone Academy, that serves half the children have autism, half our typical children. And so I've just been trying to get together with parents, you know, really open about my faith, and I just pray for them. And just have been really burdened that we could do a better job reaching out to families, because it is difficult. Half the marriages, I mean, more than half, it's like 80% in the disability community that marriages end. And then two with autism, it's one in 150, but then it's like one in 98 boys. Like, the stats get even worse. I think the thing that we have going here with being able to support these kids, because a lot of times these families don't get any time alone, is great. And I think the other thing, too, is just to be sensitive. When you're at the park or you're somewhere out in the community and this child is having a real behavior problem, to be thinking in the back of your mind, maybe they're on the spectrum, maybe there's something deeper here than some poor parenting. Because I used to be at the park with him, and I swear people were thinking, God, she just didn't read the right book. And it was so much more, you know? And so, and I used to wish that he had a shirt that said, that I saw this in a magazine, I'm okay, my parents are okay, I just have autism. So, you know, I think it's really important to just keep your eyes open, because these kids are everywhere. Mm-hmm. And just to be prayerful in your thoughts as you try to talk to these parents, because they're going through so much. And even if their kid's mild like our child, they're still, you know, he can't answer a question, you know, like, so even though his language has really improved, his OT skills, a lot of things have improved, but still, he's still really quirky amongst his peers. So I think, too, just recognizing that, I really hope that we could get more families here, especially, like, just across the street. So, but thank you for that question.
I wanted to just add that I know there's a school for kids with autism who are on the autism spectrum that opened recently down in the South Clintonville area, and so, which is close to where I live. So I just thought I made some contact with them, and I'm trying to look for volunteer opportunities with that school. So that's a way too. Right, I can add that if you were here to hear Johnny talk about the family retreats over the summer, I've been involved with that for the last 8 years, so it is a really good way also to serve, or if you know a family that could, you know, benefit from that, it's a blast. So I'd recommend that.
So can you give us a little bit more details on that? When does she usually do that? Does the location change, or is there like a fixed location you go to?
Yeah, there is going to be a change coming up. We believe next year there's going to be two held in Ohio. The last 8 years it's been held in Southern Ohio, which is a beautiful location. It's the Shawnee State Park Lodge. We grabbed the whole lodge and all the cabins this year. We booked them all, and had about 40 plus families and like 300 people all together. And we did, we had a Christian motorcycle gang come in, and with like 12 motorcycles or 16 motorcycles. Actually, I got a picture of Linda. Linda went, I got a picture of her on a motorcycle. And And they just gave everybody rides for like 3 or 4 hours. And then they also, we made connections with the nursing home down there. We took a group of like 20 young teens to that, and they served the residents there. And we also got a ride on the Ohio River. There's a guy down there that he's made some connections with us, and he's given a lot of our people rides on the Ohio River on a pontoon boat. So it's a lot of fun. We did wheelchair art, just very, very innovative people. But like I said, next year they're planning not only to hold one there in June, I think it's maybe the third week of June, but also up in the Cleveland area. I think on they're looking at a site on in Geneva.
They need prayer if they can get that too.
Yeah, so pray that happens, because that would be like double probably the families that get served and helped.
If you want information about the camp, I believe you can check at the Johnny and Friends table. They'd be able to hook you up with.
Yeah, all those people that are at the Johnny and Friends table work at the summer retreats.
I guess I have a question about making Xenos facilities accessible. I know that not all of our buildings are accessible for all of our programs. And I know that part of that, like building a ramp and such, it takes money, it takes man hours. And I assume that's not worked into the current budget. Is there any sort of way like volunteers or people could organize, like, not only like working towards that, but doing so in a way that's actually helpful? Because, you know, you can't just build any old ramp, it has to be a certain incline and certain things like that.
Yeah, that's a great question. And we got to kind of explore as far as getting a ramp built here and in the cafe for the XSI. And so we actually, someone found there is a ministry in Columbus that builds ramps for churches. We did talk to them initially, but then we were like, well, you know, we all just like pitch in and get it together ourselves probably. Which, Shannon's husband, you want to talk about that? He's an engineer, and he was a part of getting that together. And another guy named Chris Bruzzese, and Matt Boone from our church helped put that together. And Denise Braun, I understand, did the outer decorations there. So I think, you know, there have been, I've known different people who have done grassroots kind of efforts in making things more accessible, and sure, we can talk about that.
It'd be great to have a list of, to have someone keep a list of people who want to do these things. But, you know, God's always provided, and it seems like, you know, we're small. It seems like the needs that have come up, somebody's met them. So, you know, I can't say that there's, you know, I mean, we could, of course, there's all kinds of things that would be great to have, but we can't have them. But all the needs have always been met.
I think the thing to do is if you know of a situation that's not accessible, I think the thing to do is to call attention to it. And, you know, one thing you could do is contact Greg, maybe, or even facilities. And then, you know, we can see, you know, how we could come together to meet that need. So, sounds like you know of some things that might need some attention.
All right. Well, is there any other questions? Comments? Any closing comments from our panel?
One more plug for prayer for us. And do you guys have a prayer group by any chance with your Saturday night group? You know, maybe even invite people to that.
Yeah, we do prayer group on the off weeks. We do the first and third Sundays. We have or first and third Saturdays. We actually have the Bible study, and then we usually have a prayer group on one of those off weeks. It just depends. It's been moving around the summer. Because we've been moving around. But one more thing I think I wanted to ask everybody to pray for is there's more people in the church that have children, young adults, teenagers with disabilities, and those children are not involved in OASIS. They're not involved in young adult Bible study. And just if you know them in your home church, you can reach out to them or maybe even offer to be a support and bring them to a Saturday night Bible study or something, I think would be awesome. Because we've run across a couple families that we've been praying for that we really hope that they will take advantage of what we have to offer.
I also think your idea of coordinating volunteer opportunities is a really great idea. We should pray for that someone will step forward or we can make that happen somehow. Because there are so many places in the community to get involved with people with disabilities. So. I think that's a really good idea. I'm sorry we don't have a quick answer for you.
So is that it? Should we pray?
Yep.
God, just thank you for this time, and I really appreciate all these folks that are involved in this ministry being willing to share about how you've worked in their lives and how you've seen how we've seen you work in the lives of people that we're trying to serve. God, I just pray that there's people here who are stirred to want to serve you in this way, that we can just come together and get people plugged in so that we can be a witness for you.
Well, Father, we thank you for the privilege we have of knowing your Son, Jesus, and we just ask that you continue to grow this burden in our hearts and in the hearts of people in this church and community to reach out, and thank you for the opportunities you provide us. Amen.
This study was recorded at Xenos Christian Fellowship and is copyrighted. You may freely copy and distribute it as long as you keep it intact and do not sell it.